Let's go on with our series on the Sermon on the Mount. I want to talk about our heart today. Our physical heart is one of the most important organs in our body. I'd venture to say without it, you'd probably die. I don't think you would get very long without your heart. But it's important that our heart is good and healthy. For our heart pumps that life-giving blood through our whole body. In fact, you know that in 1 year it pumps about 650,000 gallons of blood through your body each year. So if you can't really take that in conception, that's about 5 liters of blood a minute. I look at a jug of milk, and that's more than a jug of milk a minute. That's a lot of blood. That poor little heart in there does a lot of work. Unfortunately, there are people who go to the doctor only to find out and have him tell them that they have an incurable heart disease. Their heart has deteriorated, and there is only one hope for them, and that is to have a heart transplant. The disease might not show on the outside. They might look fine in the physical body. They might even feel okay at first. But if they don't get their heart checked out, that disease will only grip their whole heart and engulf it. And eventually, if they don't get anything done, even a heart transplant might not be viable. But heart transplants are becoming more and more common these days. But what should be more common than a regular heart transplant should be a spiritual heart transplant. Because you see, there's only a few people out there that get a physical heart transplant, that need a physical heart transplant. But the truth is, everyone in the entire world needs a spiritual heart transplant. We can't survive without a heart transplant. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." As we are pure in heart, we will see God. We will have eternal life. Unfortunately, none of us are pure in heart. We all fall short. We all sin and can't make it to God's standards. The disease of sin will overtake us, and we will die spiritually if we don't get a heart transplant. Our heart needs to be changed. If our physical heart is full of disease and a doctor removes part of that heart, part of that disease, I'm not sure if he can do that, probably can't, but if he did and he removed part of it and the heart still worked, that disease is still there and it will eventually grab that whole heart and probably the entire body. See, the entire heart needs to be replaced when it's filled with disease. In the same way, our spiritual heart needs to be completely replaced. If we were to only replace the part of it, the disease of sin will continue to spread and eventually destroy us spiritually. So look at my spiritual heart, and if my spiritual heart has anger in it, among other things, and I just take care of the anger, and that's all that we do, we just tweak the anger so it's better, I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, anybody that knew me before would know that that was a good thing, that Scott's anger is tweaked. But if I don't take care of a root of bitterness that's deep down in the recesses of my heart, if I just take care of the anger, that root of bitterness will start to grow, and it will continue to grow. And it will start to root, and I just have the, I had this picture as I was thinking about this, as I was going over my message, I had this picture of a heart with just these tentacles just wrapped all around it. And that's what the bitterness will do, or any sin. It'll just wrap itself around it and overtake it. And in fact, if it's bitterness, chances are that anger that I dealt with is going to start to come back up and show itself. It creeps back in. So one question one might have is, what does Jesus mean by pure in heart? What is he talking about, the heart? Well, the Bible sense lexicon describes heart here as a place of a person's thoughts, his mind, volition, his will, emotions, and the knowledge of right and wrong, our conscience. So, in other words, our heart here is that which is enveloped by our emotions, our mental and spirituality. Like, it's engulfed by everything. Our heart, as referred to in this verse, one person wrote that it is our total personality. Jeremiah describes the heart in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, and he writes these words, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Well, we can all figure out who can understand it. We all have that, like, who can understand it? But that's not what I want to get at here. Because really, we don't really think of our heart as beyond cure. When we think about our lives, our personalities, they're not that bad, are they? I mean, we just need to tweak them here or there, and they'll be okay. I mean, it's not beyond cure and all above deceit. Like, is it really? Surely we can fix it. Just a few minor repairs. And that was the thinking of my father-in-law. Kathy was trying to explain to him about salvation and about the plan of God and about sin. And he said to her, "Well, I may have not done everything that is morally right, but I haven't sinned. I haven't sinned." He didn't think he was a sinner. And you know, he just wanted to fix part of his. He hadn't done everything that was morally right. He just thought he could fix part of his heart. I can understand that thought. I mean, before I was a Christian, and I knew that things weren't very good, I thought, "Ah, man, I know God. I just need to fix part of my life. I just need to stop swearing." And I've told you the story. You know, I just need to fix that. I may not be the best person in the world, but I'm not really that bad. That was the thinking of the Pharisees as well. They knew their hearts needed a bit of tweaking. They knew their hearts weren't quite right with God. And see, God had his law, and then they decided that they needed some tweaking, so they added 600 more laws plus. And then they had all these laws, so they just thought, "Well, I'm not that bad. I mean, if I'm trying to keep God's law and trying to keep these 600 plus laws, I mean, I can't be that bad." I mean, what they believed was a bad person was if somebody touched an unclean person or touched a dead person or ate without ceremonially washing. That was a bad person. That was a sinner. Those exterior things, they were good when people were watching them. They believed it was the things they did or didn't do, those outward signs which gave them a pure heart. It was all about what people could see. But notice in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 declares, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We are to be pure in heart. In the heart. Not on the outside. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 25 to 28, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Seems pretty clear here that our hearts, what is inside, is more important than what's on the outside. Now, don't get me wrong. What's on the outside is important. I mean, that could glorify or not. But what's on the inside is really important. Jesus declared in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, it is what comes from inside that defiles you. From within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things come from within. They are what defiles us. See, it comes from within and comes out. Jesus is saying these evil things come from, originate in a person's heart. That is why he told the Pharisees in Matthew that they needed to clean the inside. If the inside was clean, if the inside was pure in the heart, what happens to the outside? If we're filled with God's love, peace, grace, mercy, forgiveness, all that he has, if we clean out the inside of our heart, the inside of our personality, what's going to come out? God's love, right? God's goodness? That's what'll come out. The world feels much the same as the Pharisees. Much of the world believes that if we just change the environment of a person, they'll be good. Everything will be okay. And you know, don't get me wrong, changing the environment makes a big difference in a person's life. But if we just take a drug addict or an addict from the east side of Vancouver, from the streets, that's lived on the streets for, say, 20 years, and we take them and we put them in a middle-class home, I'd venture to say that it doesn't mean that they'll stop doing using drugs and drinking and stealing. Oh, they'll look different. The outside will look better. They'll have clean clothes. They'll be fed well and all. But the heart is still full of sin. The heart still desires to do the things it always did. Just putting somebody in a new environment, for the most part, won't change them. Might change some outward signs. The problem, our problems, are at the center of our being, in our heart. We all need heart transplants. If we know that the heart, which Jesus is talking about here, is the center of our being, our total personality, what does it look like to be pure in heart? Matthew 5:8 declared, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The Greek word here for pure is twofold, has a twofold meaning. The first part of the meaning is singleness. We are to have a singleness of heart. David realized that when he wrote Psalm 86:11, and he said, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." What David and Jesus are saying is that our hearts must not be divided or fragmented into different areas. Reginald Bibby, in his book, Fragmented Gods, talks how Christians compartmentalize their lives. We separate our hearts into different areas, such as work. We have the work over here. We have the pleasure. We have the finances, the religion, the social aspect of our lives, our family, and so on. They're all just... In other words, our hearts are not pure. They are not singled out and focused on Jesus, but they're divided. Does this mean that what we're to do all day long is to go to church, to pray, to read our Bibles, to sing worship songs, to talk about Jesus? Is that what we're to do all day? No, that's not what I'm saying. It means that he needs to be number one. Jesus needs to be first place, and everything else comes after him and is filtered through the lens of our faith and relationship with Jesus. We look at our work, our pleasure, our finances, our family, and everything through Jesus. He becomes the center of everything. He becomes the center of our work. He's there when we're working. So when we work as if we are working unto him. We don't go, "Oh well, this boss is a crummy boss, so I'll just do a partial job." And when we have our leisure time, we do it as he is there with us. Would we do those things? And we've all heard the saying, "What would Jesus do?" Would we do those things if Jesus was with us? If Jesus was hanging on our arm or in our heart, would we do that? Would we talk like that? Would we associate with that? How would we fill out our income tax form? It's income tax time. Would we be honest? Or would we find a loophole? The only way to be truly happy is to put Jesus at the center of all those things, that he is threaded through our lives. If we're trying to juggle a number of different things that are not tied together through the heart that is focused on Jesus, we won't be happy. Years ago, we were planting a church in Chase. So my life consisted of planting a church, starting a church in Chase, having a family, and working full time. And you know, as much as I'd like to say that Jesus was at the center of all those three things, those were the three major things in my life, I'd like to say that Jesus was at the center of them all, I'd have to say he wasn't. Because my life would go from juggling these three major areas of my life. At one point, I'd be fully engulfed in planning the church and starting the church, and then I'd look and go, "Oh, my family! My family's not getting any time." And so I would jump from there and just put part of my time into the church and put my time into my family and part of my time into work. And then it was like, "Oh, I need to be more time into work." And you know, I wasn't happy because I seemed to be just jumping from one place to another. I was just juggling things. My heart was divided. And it wasn't until I got everything together and Jesus was at work with me, and Jesus was with me in my family, and Jesus was with me in the church, and I was working all those things through Jesus. I don't know if that makes sense to you. A pure heart is one which God is the center. It is not divided by anything or by anyone. God needs to be the center of our relationship with our kids, with our grandkids, with our spouses. He needs to be the center of it all. And not only does that word pure mean singleness of heart, but it also means a heart which is cleansed from sin. And this matters so much because of what we read about heaven in Revelation 21:27. What we read about future life. Nothing impure will enter it, it being heaven. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is only one way we can have a pure heart, cleansed from sin, and see our names written in the Book of Life, in the Lamb's Book of Life, in Jesus' Book of Life. This can only happen by recognizing our sinful nature. We must realize that we can't repair our heart, and we can't perform the heart transplant which we need. Only God can do that. He is the heart surgeon. He sent Jesus to pay the ransom for our sins. The Bible tells us that we come to Him, our sins are forgiven. See, that's the problem with my father-in-law. He couldn't recognize that he was a sinner. Oh, he made some moral mistakes, but God wanted to cleanse his heart from all sin. Jesus paid the ransom for that sin. The Bible tells us that as we come to Him, our sins are forgiven and we are washed white as snow. At that moment, our hearts are made pure. And I like to say it from that point on that our hearts are pure and we're good. They never get stained ever again. They just stay white as that pure driven snow. But no, they're like that snow. They get messed up because we have a sinful nature and we will mess up. And when we do, we need to go back to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us. We need to repent of the sins we've committed. David understood that. He had committed adultery and murder. And after he was shown and he realized and come to that place in his life where he'd realized that he had sinned, he humbly came to God and he wrote in Psalm 51 verse 10, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me." David knew the only way to become right with God again was for God to give him a heart transplant. So if we were told today that we could see God, we would be pretty excited. If I said to each one of us that we can see God today, we can see Him today, we'd get pretty excited. But unfortunately, we think of seeing God as face to face, and we think of that as will only happen when we pass from this life. But the truth is, we can see God right now if we have a pure heart, because that's what God says. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. James exhorts us to come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Wash your hands, cleanse yourself from sin. Double-minded, become single-minded. Be pure in heart, James is saying. As we are cleansed from sin and our hearts are focused solely on God, then our hearts are pure and we will see God in everything we do. He'll be there. We will see God in our work. We will see God in our leisure. We will see God in our finances. We will see God wherever we are And whatever we're doing, He will become the center. God wants to give us a heart transplant. If we will allow it, we will be blessed. We will be truly happy because we will see God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need a heart transplant. I need a heart transplant. God, I ask that You'd continue to put that heart of flesh, your soft heart in me, Your pure heart in me, in each one of us. Lord, a heart that honors and glorifies You in all that we do. Father, change our hearts. And Lord, as we allow You to purify our hearts, as we come to You humbly, as David did, and say, create in us a clean heart, a pure heart. Father, then the outside changes. Lord, we want to be changed. We want Your glory to shine, not that we might get praise, but that You might be seen and others might know You. So, Lord, be glorified, we ask. We thank You in Jesus' name.